Hey everyone, today is Thursday, the 23rd of November, 2017. This is The Gap, episode 397. I'm Luke Laurie and Job Gurai is here. How you going, Job?
397? Oh my lord.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
it's nearly 400.
It is nearly 400 episodes.
Yep.
And that obviously doesn't count any of our bonus episodes. Speaking of bonus episodes,
we're grossly behind our bonus episodes.
We're way over 400 for sure.
Yeah, easy. But jeez,
probably closer to 500 actually.
It's around. Ooh. All right.
Yeah. Don't know about that.
Yeah, we should do some bonus episodes, Luke. Obviously, we'll do Star Wars in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously,
mate. Hmm. It'll be our drunkest podcast of the year, as always. And we should do some other ones, though. We should construct some concepts for some other ones.
Yep.
Yep. We'll work that out.
We'll plan that. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. You sound sarcastic when you said that.
No.
What do you mean, no? Yes, you did. You did sound sarcastic.
We did. What?
Yeah.
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 This show was going to be quite tame up until yesterday, I feel like.
There
wasn't much happening, really.
No.
And then we kind of put it off a bit because some things went down, and now we've got a shitload to talk about.
Yeah.
Worked out well.
Yeah. Well, like, it was going to be, like, yeah, just, I guess, yeah, not a lot of content. Now we're fucked for next week. We should have rethought this.
Hmm.
Oh, we'll work something out.
We'll figure it out. Bonus podcast. What?
Good idea.
Yeah. All right. Should we go through it?
Let's do it.
Yeah. What do we want to kick off with? The PlayStation stuff?
You got a new barbecue.
I have a new... Yeah. All right. Let's go there then. I have a new barbecue. Correct.
And you got to use it.
I did. I did. We had spontaneous barbecue on the weekend.
It's pretty good. Is barbecuing how you remembered it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you haven't barbecued in a while, right? And when you were barbecuing previously, I've seen your old barbecue and it was a piece of shit. So, yeah. Like, what were you expecting? Now you've got this, he's got this giant barbecue. It's like 8 meters wide for some reason. And
it's exaggerating, but okay.
No, you could cook a fucking, you could cook a Flintstone rib on that motherfucker.
Yeah, you could.
Redonks.
Probably two at least.
Maybe two. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is this what you remembered? Like, how you remembered it? Or were you... When you finished barbecue, you were very meticulous in your cleaning? Is that how you always were with the barbecue situation?
Well, you've got to clean it, right? Well, I do at least. And it didn't take me that long.
What kind of sneak dish is that? Oh, I have to clean it. Not like you, Job. Because, you know, you're...
Well, you can't leave groggy, like, meat just fucking sitting on it forever.
You get a fucking spray bottle, yeah? You get a spray bottle?
Yeah. That's what I used.
Two paper towels. You fill it with water. The spray bottle, put water in the spray bottle. And you spray it on while the barbecue's still on, while the fire's still on. And then you just scrape it away with, like, the paper towel. You just wipe it off while it's still hot. It comes off really easy.
Yeah, I got some spray bottle special barbecue cleaner.
You took the thing apart. You took it apart.
Took what apart?
The grill. You took one of the grills out and shit.
I just moved it so I could wipe it down.
Yeah, you don't even need to.
Look, this took me like a minute and a half.
It took him, honest to God, 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Fuck off.
It was ridiculous. I've never seen anyone do this with a barbecue before. Anyway, yeah, that's why I brought up barbecue, just to cost you your honestly serial killer-esque treatment the barbecue. It reminded me of Dexter cleaning up a crime scene. That's what it reminded me of. I just wanted to address that. Anyway, video games. You want to go straight into Playfest?
Yeah, we may as well.
Sure.
So yesterday I went to Playfest. Sony put on an event showcasing some of the upcoming games and new released games, I guess, as well. In particular, like the Playlink stuff that's starting to come out, and then a few titles that we'll be seeing next year as well. So yeah, This was in a very nice house in like not North Sydney. What do you call that area? Eastern,
I guess.
Beach, the beach.
Yeah.
Look, it's next to the water.
It was next to some water.
Yeah. And they had a bunch of demo units set up, and they also brought in the VP of Europe. VP of Europe?
Yeah, the VP of Sony Worldwide, the European division or whatever the fuck. Yeah. So they brought him over to talk about a bunch of games we already knew a bunch about. Yep.
I think he was more there for interviews and checking up on shit.
Yep. So yeah, it wasn't like there was announcements and stuff, but they were sort of presenting a lot of the stuff that they had at Paris Games Week that they had in like behind closed doors demos. They were presenting a lot of them. Yeah, which was good, obviously. Yeah, so you got to... Like, we got to see some stuff that they were only showing behind closed doors over in Paris. And yeah, that was a handy way to check that shit out and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talked about a billion hours of play?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Stupid numbers they throw out.
Like, that is utterly meaningless to me. I mean...
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I just get nothing out of, to be honest.
Yeah, there's one of those stupid stat pages where they're like, we sold 18 boatloads of chicken. And you're like, all right, I don't know how much that is, but cool.
I've definitely won that much chicken.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But yeah. All right, man. It was a good event. Like, it was, the location was good, and the setup was like handy for being able to check out a bunch of stuff really quickly. So there was a bunch of games on display there. They had Far Cry 5. They had Shadow of the Colossus Remastered. You could only play, it wasn't like the full thing, you could only play three of the bosses. What else did they have? They had Detroit
Become Human.
They had multiple like Detroit demos available.
A lot of VR demos as well.
Yeah, they had Doom, Skyrim, The Inpatient, and they had this entire section of the house dedicated to playing shooters that literally, I guarantee you, I never saw a single person go to. Neither. We had Call of Duty World War II and Star Wars Battlefront 2, and I did not see a single person there the entire time.
Yeah. Well, in our group at least.
Yeah. And yeah, it was just I don't know, it was a good event.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk about some of the stuff we played or watched as well? You played Shadow of the Colossus.
I did. Yeah, so
you've played, I think you've played the original, including the remastered or something like that. Didn't they make a version a couple of years back? Like the HD file?
Yeah, they did the HD. And now they're doing the Super HD, I guess.
This is like a full-on remake of it.
Yeah, this reconstructed from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I played the remaster. I played the original. I'm a huge fan of the game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess if there was anything to really get into, I mean, it looks fucking gorgeous. Obviously, it looks utterly gorgeous. And it feels like, I didn't have a side-by-side comparison, but like instinctively it felt like Shadow of the Colossus, so that worked well. It does sort of remind you of like a lot of the stuff that you feel like has been improved upon since the original came out. Like, I don't know, I just feel like it's odd that that aggro, the horse is still such a pain in the dick to deal with in a lot of cases. Like, that's one of those things that I feel like they would do well to fix, really, you know? And obviously, yeah, they haven't. They've done very little. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, do you stay 100% faithful to the original, or do you, like, yeah, is it, what's the point of another remake if then, like, just all they're doing is really upping the visual fidelity?
Yep.
Right? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It feels good, but
it feels outdated.
Yeah, it definitely feels outdated. Yeah. There's parts of it that just, yeah, don't feel good at all. And it's only because, you know, we've come so far, especially with the way that you control characters in game worlds. Yeah, I don't know. Still, like, yeah, like I said, if you're after that, the Shadow of the Colossus experience, it's fucking perfect. Right? It just feels like, I don't know. Yeah, why do 2017 Shadow of the Colossus if you're just going to do it again? Right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, maybe they'll... I'm curious who, like, the price point will be on it and sort of who they're marketing it for.
Yeah. Like, it seems like they want...
being a full-priced game? I don't think it will.
Seems like they want a big release for it, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
Still, yeah, really enjoyed, like, I know I got to go through boss 1, boss 3, and boss... Oh, man, I don't remember. It was one of the later ones, one of the really late ones.
Okay.
And I didn't actually... I got, like, called away to go check out Detroit... literally as I was getting to the boss. So I only vaguely remember. I'm not even sure. It was one of the ones down to near the water, but I don't think it was the water boss. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, still, I love climbing all over giant monsters. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Did you play any Far Cry 5?
No, I was going to, and then we sort of ran out of time. But I did get to watch. I was watching people play and sort of chatting with them as they were playing, and it looked pretty fucking awesome. Did you play it?
I played a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The demo they were kind of showing was like liberating a town. That's kind of where it started, and then you could sort of venture off and do your own thing from there. So I did the town liberation. And that was cool. I selected my companion as, like, the dog. So you can choose, like, 3 different people to have as your sidekick. And ran in and just, you know, shooting a bunch of people in this little town. There's stuff like trucks set up around the area and fuel tankers that you can kind of blow up and create this awesome explosion. And, I didn't really get too much into it because I just want to leave it as a game that I kind of... get to explore myself. It seems it's Far Cry. The only thing I'll say is that it does look a bit like I don't know how it's going to run on consoles. It was a bit framey. It's obviously still
early code.
It's got a long way to go. But because the environments seem to be so open, you get that level of detail as things get further away. You know how they kind of downgrade things as the further you can see? You don't get as much detail on buildings that are kind of far away. Because in the area that I was in, so open, you can kind of notice that quite clearly. And it doesn't look as great as some of the other Far Cry games that I have played. Things like the dinosaur one where there's a lot of wildlife around and a lot of, foliage kind of surrounding you. That kind of covers that area. And with Far Cry 4, there being like giant mountains and that sort of stuff as well. That's not really something that seems to be... that they've sort of considered in this one because it is sort of wider open areas. So you're getting that view distance. It's, you know, you're seeing fields off in the, kilometers away. And yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out when it comes out on the consoles. I think it'll be probably fine on PC, but it seems to be a bit limited at the moment on the current generation hardware on consoles.
Yeah,
it's just something that really popped out when I was noticing. I was like, oh, this doesn't look, yeah, it's kind of standing out quite a bit to me. But again, it's like still months out. That could be something they address later on. I just don't know how they do that though, considering you can see so far off in the distance. Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess.
Did you see that at all while you were watching people?
I definitely noticed it was framey.
Yeah, it was very framey.
Yeah, it was very framey, but I didn't really notice the like view distance detailing, to be honest. But that's one of those things that I rarely notice unless it's like specifically like even in DayZ or PUBG, I have to specifically be looking out at, like, you know how once you go over like 200 or so meters, grass stops being fucking rendered?
Yeah.
I rarely notice that unless I'm specifically paying attention to it. It's just one of those, like, it's just the way I play games is that I automatically shift into the idea of what they're trying to convey as opposed to what they are literally conveying. So, yeah. It's definitely, like, I'm sure if I went back and had a look, I could see what you're talking about. Like, yeah, but as almost always, for me, yeah, graphics don't necessarily matter if the gameplay is there. So I was more enamored with fucking the fishing.
Yeah, I saw...
How good is the fishing?
I saw Ed doing the fishing, and I was giving him shit about it, because I was like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't Final Fantasy, bro. Just, you should be shooting things.
Oh, man, it's so awesome. Oh, it's crazy. I don't know why it exists, but I love that it does.
Yeah. I jumped into a tractor on one of the farms and was kind of just running things over. You know, awesome. Found some cows and... Yeah, not like it seems like one of those, you know, it's Far Cry, right? You just kind of get into stupid situations and see if you can get out of them. Co-op is what I'm looking forward to because it sounds like a lot of the single player stuff will be, or the campaign will be tied to co-op as well. It should be fun.
They weren't showing any co-op, which was Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, they haven't shown any co-op at any events yet.
Oh, they've announced it though, right? I'm pretty.
It's definitely a thing, 100% a thing. But yeah, they haven't been showing it off. Instead of showing like player versus player, multiplayer and shit, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But it's probably one of those things, you know, they want to get the world locked in before they start optimizing for two people at once or whatever the fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun to me. I was annoyed that I didn't have time to play it. But like you said, yeah, it'll be much better to just explore at my own pace when I actually get the game.
Yep.
Cool. What else we got?
I played a little bit. It's not on the list, but I played a little bit of Monster Hunter World.
Oh yeah. That looked like it was impenetrable.
Yeah.
For a preview session, you know, like I definitely get the appeal of the Monster Hunter games, but yeah, in that scenario and with that sort of time restriction, it didn't seem like much point to picking it up.
That's kind of why I didn't write it down because, but I guess I'm mentioning now, I kind of played it for like 5 minutes and was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, and it's not really telling me what I should be doing. So I'm going to go stab some dinosaurs or whatever it was that I was stabbing. And it was doing stuff like, hey, you need to track this animal that you're questing for at the moment, and like finding tracks and then I guess figuring out sort of where it is. But other than that, I had no idea what I was doing. So it didn't really explain either what was kind of going on. So I don't know. It still looks pretty, and it's probably a game that I will definitely check out. Like, it looks like a lot of fun. Just not a great game to showcase in a like quick span of time. Yeah.
Like, just the UI alone looks like something you'd need a half an hour just to get through.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, though. Fucking hell. Talking about games that look gorgeous, that one looks fucking pretty as fuck. I guess, like, part of that is the fact that, like, for the longest time, Monster Hunter games to me have looked like fucking dog shit because they've been playing on, like, super low res machines, like the 3DS or the PS Vita or like the Wii or something. So they've always looked a little bit behind graphically, but at the same time, nobody gives a fuck because those games are literally all about the gameplay. They're not about the graphics. This one looks fantastic though, so it might be, you know, the complete package at this point. Which, yeah, it's cool. It's just, yeah, I don't know what they were thinking trying to demo it in this situation, you know?
Yep.
Crazy talk. Yeah, all right, cool. What else we got?
We watched the demo of Erica.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a Playlink game. So Playlink, if people don't know, is a brand new technology they're showcasing, Joe, where you use your phone to play video games.
Yes.
Never been seen before.
I haven't seen this before.
No. And Erica is a full motion video game, but they weren't saying it was a full motion video. They were saying that it was, like, again, new technology that they've created. So, like, everything you're seeing on the screen is captured in the real world, and then you're interacting with it on your phone and making decisions. And it's a story based driven game. There's, like, little pop up bubbles that show up on the screen as you're controlling the main character and sort of deciding what you want to do, or, you know, choices that you want to make when interacting with people. Mm. And I guess the premise is it's based around some sort of serial killer that you're trying to track down. They really didn't go into too much detail because obviously it is a heavily story driven game, but that's about as much as they said in terms of the premise. It seems to be heavily inspired by the 90s sort of games that came out, which were full motion video, things like Seventh Guest, Phantasmagoria, Gabriel Knight, The Beast Within, or The Evil Within? No, The Beast Within. Like those types of games where they captured full motion video and then had you kind of walk around the world and explore it in an adventure style type way.
Yeah.
And this seems to be like they're sort of going different ways with the Playlink stuff, and we'll talk about Hidden Agenda later, but this one is more focused on a solo experience, kind of playing it along with yourself and using your tablet or device to go through this story and make your own decision. So it's like a choose your own adventure, but on your phone while you're watching it unfold on the screen.
Interactive fiction.
Yeah. I know these types of games aren't your thing, Joe, but did you see anything they were showing that was like, oh, that's pretty cool? Or was it just like, yeah, all right.
I don't know.
Do you feel like, and I feel like this, that the stuff they were showing is stuff that you could only do on your phone, or could you do it with a controller?
You could definitely do it with a controller.
Yeah.
I 100% do it with a controller. I didn't think that it needed that. I didn't think that was necessary, to be honest.
From what they showed us so far.
Yeah. I think they do a good job of, like, giving you reasons to, like, use your phone. It seemed like the use of the phone seemed pretty intuitive and pretty easy to sort of put together on your own. My major problem was that it just looked like it had really bad acting to me. Like, just, yeah, super, super, like, shoddy acting, which, yeah, didn't really appeal to me, I guess, as a fan of acting.
Okay.
Yeah. So that wasn't great. But it might just be that portion of the game. I didn't get that much appeal out of it, to be honest. When they were talking about it, I thought it was going to be something more along the lines of her story, but
okay, yeah.
But it was not.
Hmm. You weren't a big fan of creepy British guy that was hiding in the shadows?
No, that was super weird. Yeah. Super duper weird.
So some of the things they showcased were her picking up a book and being dusty and then using your phone to rub away the dust, even though you could clearly see what was on the book. Or opening and closing the lid of a little box using your phone, or lighting a piece of paper on fire using your phone, flicking up and down to make the lighter light, just stuff like that. But I guess one of the cool things I was showing was, like, when you're using your finger to kind of look around the environment, it sort of, like, shifts focus on the environment, so the things in the background go a bit blurry when you're looking at stuff in the foreground.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, just stuff like that, like little touches. But I think the game sort of lives and dies off of its how well the story and acting is, because that's the main thing that you really want to be good.
Yep.
So yeah, I guess we'll have to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, we will, but I don't have high hopes.
Yeah,
to be honest. I just didn't think it was there while we were watching. I think the coolest thing I liked the most was when they were turning the key and they could turn it whichever way they wanted, because I figured that must have taken some stop motion wizardry to get to work correctly, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. And the, should we talk about Detroit? Was there anything else you saw?
No. Yep.
I didn't really touch the VR stuff because I don't have a VR headset, so I can't, I can play it, but I don't have any comparisons.
I was feeling car sick in the cab on the way to the thing.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of that is due to the cab driver driving like he was trying to do some sort of dance move on the accelerator. But nevertheless, I figured popping a headset on and trying that on was probably a shortcut to vomiting. So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Let's go to Detroit.
Detroit. So Detroit Become Human is the follow-up to David Cage's ongoing interactive storytelling. What'd you call it before? Interactive fiction. Yeah. So I guess follow-ups to things like Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and what did he do on the PlayStation 2?
Fahrenheit.
So yeah, this one centralizes around androids and robots in the future that have become
gaining sentience.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I guess this is what the story is going to kind of tell, right? Is that what is it to be human, Job? I guess the same sort of things that like Blade Runner sort of went for, right?
Yeah, almost exactly. Interesting that you would make that comparison. But yes, very, very, very similar to those ideas. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to have sentience? Who could tell? We will never know. It follows three different robots doing robot-y things. You know, they learn, they live, they love. All the classic robot things,
they kill.
The demo that we were allowed to play involved a robot cop, some sort of
robot cop.
he was a robot that hunted down like these errant other robots, these other androids that like went bad.
Yep.
And the way that they went bad was that they were sort of starting to gain sentience. Mm. And so he was tasked with finding them. And I guess, like, there's a division. In some places, they might call them Blade Runners. But in this, they don't call them that because it is definitely not Blade Runner.
No.
Even though it bears some striking similarities. Yeah. So he was hunting down, or he was trying to get to the, he was a hostage negotiator for a robot. And you go up in the elevator, and I guess this is probably, like, robots is probably the perfect thing for David Cage to direct, to be honest.
Because the acting
is, it can be wooden, and it doesn't reflect poorly on him. It just, you're like, fuck, that is some robotic ass acting. That, I don't know if this is like super good or like super bad, but I, like, I'm, the fact that I'm questioning it is a good thing, as opposed to fucking the Boston cop, FBI agent in Heavy Rain, who was categorically badly acted, you know?
Yeah.
At least we knew for certain in Heavy Rain that the acting was bad, whereas in this, maybe it's great. It might be great acting. Who can fucking tell? Not me. I certainly can't. Yeah, I don't know. So you go up and you got to investigate the scene, and then you, like, resolve it. You're trying to stop this errant robot from killing this little girl, basically. Mm-hmm. He's already killed the dad, and he might kill the little girl, and the cops can't do anything about him because he's standing on the edge of an apartment building, and if they shoot him, he might take the little girl off with him. So what happened? What did you do?
Yeah. So as you're as you're walking around the environment, it's kind of giving you indications that every precious minute or second counts. And there's a probability factor that keeps popping up on the screen, like your probability of success, and success being that you saved the little girl. So you can't just necessarily just stand there forever. Otherwise, I'm guessing you'll probably just end the situation. So the idea is to kind of look around the environment, and Connor, the advanced android, wants to sort of learn the situation a bit better as to, like, why this has happened. And yep, you can kind of do that, or you can just go straight into negotiating. But the more you sort of look around the environment and get an idea of as to what sort of caused him to go this way, the better, I guess, you can sort of understand what happened and reason with him a bit more.
Yeah.
I did two playthroughs. I think you only did one, but yeah. I went through pretty much as far as I could tell most of the areas, and sort of, looked at around the environments. And there's like a Detective Batman vision that you can kind of go through the areas and investigate certain objects. And it does this, like, you sort of analyze an object and you can rewind certain things. Like, there'll be a broken, like, coffee table in the living room, and, you know, there's blood all around the place, and there's a dead body there. Who may that be? Mm. And as you're analyzing this body, it kind of, you can rewind time and, oh, well, he had something in his hand at this stage, and what happens if I spin the camera around? And then you can find, you know, oh, he had a tablet in his hand, and the tablet is over here in the corner. So then you sort of leave that and go find the tablet, and you pick up the tablet and you look at it, and you sort of recognize that the dad was shopping. He was shopping for new android robots, Job. did you find that at all?
Yeah.
So he's kind of made this current android that he's got a bit redundant, you know, and that's something that's kind of triggered him. He's realized that he's obsolete now and he's no longer needed. And so there's different things throughout the environment you can kind of put together, and as you're doing that, the probability of success increases ever so slightly. So yeah, I did a lot of that the first time. How did you sort of approach the situation?
Yeah, I sort of I went and did the same thing. I just went through everything in the fucking apartment room, and it felt like one of those situations that I feel like a lot of these like sorts of adventure games wind up like these traps they fall into, where like the secret is to just look at everything. Right? As long as you look at everything, you probably have whatever it is you need to get through. There's not really, you don't really necessarily need to utilize quick or critical thinking. You just need to have looked at everything. And it's not like, it's more a case, like in that situation, yeah, I don't know. It feels like a good game would give you, like, you know, you would look at everything so that you could have enough information to solve a puzzle. Whereas in this case, it feels more like the game is like solving the puzzle for you as long as you give it the pieces. Like, I would prefer it if I were to look around the apartment to find the information I needed. Right. So I would look around the apartment and be like, oh, cool. Tablet that says he's being replaced, and cognitively I put it together myself that he's sad about being replaced. But instead, it won't let you, like, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's more like you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle, right? And you're just trying to find the pieces of the puzzle. It's like all the pieces have own, like, there's, it's a five piece jigsaw puzzle, and you just need to find the five pieces. Whereas I would prefer it if it was some sort of complex jigsaw puzzle that I needed to like put together out of context clues and shit, you know. So yeah, I went and did everything, and it told me my probability chances of success, which I also feel like is a particularly gamey concept that severely impacted my
like decisions. It shouldn't be there. Yeah,
because once it got to, I think it was like 95%, I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go outside and finish this shit.
Oh wow.
I'm not gonna fuck it up. It's not gonna be a problem. Walk outside, bingo banco, donezo, too easy, don't worry about it. Like it was so easy. Yeah, I don't know, I walked outside and yeah, it would like actually, you've got like your options. The options are what you can say to the android, the hostage taker. Your options are like unlocked if you've seen certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which again comes back to what I was saying. So to be like, scared of being replaced, press triangle. I'll press triangle. Yeah. Chances of success go up to 99%. Cool. And I just keep walking forward until I'm close enough, and then I shot him in his fucking brain. I was hoping the little girl would go over the side, but she didn't, so. Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the probability. Like, I guess what they're trying to do is give you a sense of urgency by having it ticked down. But I didn't get anywhere near, like, 95% when I was walking out there. I think mine was more around the 70% mark. Because as I was sort of finding things in the environment, it was only really ticking up 3% or something like that.
Right.
And then by the time I get to the next one, I'd only really gone up like 1% because it was taking me time to walk around and look at the shit.
Okay.
Yeah. In some way, like, it's there to give you a sense of urgency, but at the same time, it's also making you, oh, well, I know if I'm going to do, like, be successful at this now. Like, I'm at 95%. I know I've got a pretty good chance. So, yeah, I don't know how you would, you know, how you can kind of balance that and make it not as video gamey. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know either, but... Yeah. I don't know. They clearly haven't worked it out, so I don't feel too bad about having not worked it out.
Yeah. So yeah, I jumped up there and I did 100% complete the success rate. I talked him down from lowering his weapon. convinced him that, you know, we were going to let him go, or we wouldn't hurt him, that sort of stuff. He let the girl go, and he pretty much surrendered. And then the cops saw, they all shot him. They fucking lit him up. And then he wasn't happy. He was like, "You lied to me," type stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what happened there. But it sounds like, yeah, you ended up shooting your guy instead.
Yeah, so you can find a gun while you're there.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
But I think I gave him... I put my gun down.
Oh, I lied to him. I told him I didn't have one.
Okay.
And then I blew his brains out. He was always going to die, in my opinion. He always had to die. Fuck him. Because he was a bad robot.
Yeah. So I was watching Nate's playthrough, and Nate... well, sorry, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just kind of watched the end because I wanted to see what would happen. But his guy, went over the edge, and he jumped the little girl and grabbed her or something like that.
Oh.
So he fell off the edge and he saved the girl.
Is there a way that the little girl can die? That's all I'm asking.
There is, but she doesn't get shot.
She can't get shot.
There is no way they're shooting a little girl on the screen.
That does make sense. That actually makes sense to me, to be honest.
So I did a playthrough where I just basically walked straight outside. Off the elevator, straight outside. Oh, no, actually, I couldn't go straight outside. I was going to talk to...
the captain or whatever.
Dickhead captain.
Yeah.
Then I went straight outside. Just basically walked up to him and he's like, "Tell the helicopter to go away." And I'm like, "No." "Do you have a gun?" I'm like, just all the shit that would make him upset.
Oh, yeah.
And eventually he's just like, "Goodbye, cruel world." And he just jumps off with the girl. And they both die. And then all the cops sort of walk over to the ledge. And, you know, the strong themed music is playing. And it's just like, mission failed. He just walks away. So, yeah. Like, it'd be interesting to see how that kind of affects the rest of the game. Like, what does that mean for the rest of it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's definitely ways you can get the girl to die.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
did you... Like, I had moments where I was exploring the main sort of living room area and, like, cops were getting shot. Did you see that at all?
Yeah, that was definitely happening.
Like, yeah, I wasn't sure if that was because I was taking too long. Because I know on... my second one, I didn't see that happen at all. I thought maybe it was like a scripted event where I got to a certain point, like in the room, and it would sort of happen.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it is at the very least time sensitive. So I'd love to see what would happen if you just didn't go out there or some shit. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like, yeah, I really want to play this game. But it's mostly to see,
like, how they've improved,
what they've accounted for.
Yeah,
you know, like what different things they've sort of, anticipated and accounted for in the creation of it.
Yeah, I think it looks really pretty.
Yeah,
I don't know about that blurry thing that it does when you're close to, like, a depth of field stuff. That you kind of get when you're really close to walls. And did you notice that at all?
No. But I guess we went over this.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I think it's really, really pretty game. I'm definitely keen to keep playing. I enjoyed what I played. My main issues with the Heavy Rain stuff was that, well, Beyond Two Souls felt like that it, like the choices sort of didn't matter at all. Whereas, yep. Like, the stuff with Heavy Rain was, I kind of dug the idea that characters could die, like main characters you were playing could die, and then the game would sort of continue. Whereas Beyond was, you couldn't really have the main character die and have it continue. It had just, like, because there was only really one.
Yeah.
But this one having three and having, like, They were talking about how, like, pretty much every character can die in this game, and it'll play out differently. So, yeah. I'm curious to see how that sort of interweaves with each other, and if the acting and story is better than the last game, because I didn't like the story at all in the last one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't, like, the story generally in all, any of them. But I don't know. The demo we watched, right?
So, yeah, we watched the second demo. I don't remember. A stormy night or something, I think it was
called. Stormy night, yeah. So the chick that they first introduced as a robot, Kara, first introducing this shit, and she's been hired. She's been hired, or she, like, I don't know.
It's like a leasing thing?
You rented? Like, yeah, you don't... Like I guess you hire a car, right?
But
or
a phone, right? It could be like a mobile phone plan.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That's fair. That's a good one. Yeah, like, I don't know. Is that a thing? I know she's a thing, but, like, is leasing a thing? I don't know. In leasing robots, I think.
Well, that's what it sounded like when they were talking to each other.
Yeah. She wasn't hired... like you'd hire a person. She was hired like you'd hire a car. Right. So anyway, she's been hired by this I don't know, this entire scene was a schmozzle to me. It was cringe-tastic to me. The writing in it was fucking awful, in my opinion. The dad sitting there,
I think the dad's not very good.
The dad's not very good, but she wasn't terrible, like she wasn't great either. Like, She was sitting there saying some really dumb shit.
But she's like, a robot job. She's allowed to.
But she gets like the, she gets, so she makes them dinner and she's like, I made dinner. And she walks out with like two plates of spaghetti and she's like, there wasn't much, so I did what I could. I'm like, how do you feel? What makes you think that this is the time to be a passive aggressive bitch about like cooking dinner? You know, like, first of all, you're a fucking robot, okay? So, like, who coded being a passive-aggressive motherfucker into you? And second of all, like, what the fuck? Like, why would you antagonize this dude who is obviously a dickhole? Unbelievable. Anyway, so she does that, and then the dad's sitting there, and he blows up for literally no reason. There's nothing that, like, sets him off or anything. He just blows up, and... certainly there are people who are like that, but he just tees off. He starts going off at first at nothing. Like, he's angry that the mother left, and he just starts spouting like the stupidest expository bullshit. Like, oh, don't do as many drugs anymore. Don't do this. Oh, don't beat your daughter. And it's like, what? You can't. We get that he's a bad guy. He's this big, like, angry-looking, slovenly guy who's living in a shithole. Like, you could probably make him seem like a bad guy through, like, clever writing. Like, have him be, I don't know, a passive-aggressive dickhead when he's talking about fucking spaghetti or, like, something like that. You know, like, there are ways to make someone feel like a bad guy, look like a bad guy without literally having them say, stop taking so much drugs. Stop beating your daughter. Like, just fucking, I don't know. Shitty fucking writing. Ridiculous. So that was annoying. It just seemed really bad. That wasn't on the actor. That's not on the dad actor. That's on the fucking script. So, yeah. It's, I don't know. Yeah. So there was that, and then he decides he hits this little girl, like, out of nothing. He flips the table, like, mate, then why do you live in a shithole? Come on, stop flipping tables and shit. And throws their dinner away, even though they've got no food, and the robot was pretty clear about that. And, the little girl runs away upstairs, and the dad starts, like, muttering to himself downstairs, like, for no reason. Like, he's... what, is he giving the little girl a fucking chance to get away or some shit? Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. So, Kara decides to go upstairs to protect the little girl. I guess you... like, there's a quick time event fight scene, and then you run away. But that seems more like it would be technically kidnapping, to be honest. Unless the dad was dead. In the second playthrough, the dad did die when Kara went and got a gun, the dad's gun, which he didn't keep locked in a safe, and shot him. But he didn't even like. I want it to be like she walks into the bedroom with the dad like whooping on his little girl and just fucking ends him, like fucking executes him or some shit. That'd be fucking amazing. That would feel that then you'd feel like you were actually exercising some control. Instead, right? She's like, stop hitting her. And he turns around. He's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me. And she doesn't. Like, if someone says that and you're pointing a gun at them and you actually intend on shooting them, yes, that is definitely when you shoot them.
Hmm.
You're supposed to shoot them at that point. You're supposed to because that is the height of irony for them to die then. But instead, she doesn't. She doesn't fucking shoot. And he knocks the gun away and a quick time event fight ensues, and then eventually he falls on top of her, and the world's quietest gunshot occurs. And
yeah, I thought he stabbed. He got stabbed with something.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
And then they run away to the bus. So now she's kidnapping and a murderer. So that's cool. Yeah. I don't know. It seemed really bad. That one made me want to play it less than ever. Yeah, I don't know. What'd you think?
Yeah, that situation. I didn't like. I like the hostage one better.
That part.
But I guess the takeaway that I did like from it is that they've got this diagram, like a flowchart of showing you the different possibilities that can kind of take place. I guess the idea there is to go back at some stage and replay them and unlock different situations that can occur. And it does look like there's a lot of stuff that can go sort of fork off into different directions.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of different ways it could go.
But again, how does that affect everything else? Is it all just coming... Like, does it all branch out and then come back to a point again? Or the choices really don't matter? Like, you're... I don't know, like Mass Effect 3 type stuff?
Yeah. It's probably going to be like that, to be honest.
Mm.
Almost definitely. That's my guess. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I'm definitely keen to play more, though.
I want to play more in a scenario where we do a MST3K sort of ripping the fuck out of it type deal.
Okay, yep.
That's how I want to play it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like it's definitely got some potential to have some really, really bad writing. So, yeah, very, very interested.
But he's not writing it this time, I'm pretty sure.
Isn't he?
I thought it was someone else that was writing it
this maybe, time. Maybe they're writing the larger plot. Oh, no, I know. Who wrote Blade Runner? That's what he means, because he's jacked the entire story directly from Blade Runner. So, or, you know, Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I guess, like, in the sense that he has jacked the story completely, he's not writing it, but he must be doing dialogue because some of it's just terrible. And it's like, it just feels really David Cagey.
Hmm. Well, obviously the premise and that sort of stuff has come from him, but Adam Williams is the lead writer on it, but I can't see what he's done. There's no link here, so I'm not sure.
Oh, anyway, what else we got?
Anyway, do you want to talk about Hidden Agenda?
Let's do it. This was at Playfest, but we got codes already, and so I went around to your place and we played it.
Yeah, another PlayLink game where you use your phone to attach to the console and make decisions using your handheld device.
This one TV actually feels like you could only play it on a phone.
Yep, correct.
So that's good. So yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So it is a game by, is it Supermassive? I keep forgetting their name. Yeah, pretty sure it's Supermassive Games. Guys that did Until Dawn, which is a game that I really liked, and I think you liked as well.
Yep.
And it is a short, like two and a half hour sort of fucking storytelling experience where you're making decisions on your phone with or without other people. And again, similar in the same type of vein as Until Dawn or Heavy Rain, where the decisions kind of affect what happens the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you get like choose your own adventure stuff. So we played it together as a competitive scenario where you're getting points depending on certain things that you do in the world. Do you want to explain the points system?
So the way it works is you have these like hidden agendas. Hey, that's the name of the game. And yeah, you got to like fulfill them basically. Hmm. And yeah, the way it works in competitive is you've got to fucking, everyone has to agree and do like a certain, like you've got these choices, you've got to make a choice. Everyone has to unanimously agree on the choice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, along the way, it's, yeah, it's sort of, I don't know, gives you the opportunity to fuck over your teammates. And you can either do it by coercing, like convincing them that certain options are best, or you can do it by using these takeover points. So when you, as you go through a game, you get these takeover like points, and you can take over, and you're the only person who gets to choose. Anyway, so if you complete your hidden agenda while you're playing, then you get more points. You get like, and then at the end of each scene or each act, it will ask you to like determine who like had the hidden agenda or if anyone had one at all, and you have to guess, you know, who did. And you get points based off that as well. So if you didn't have the hidden agenda, you still get an opportunity to get points.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, otherwise it's pretty much just, yeah, I don't know, just the person who has the hidden agenda trying to coerce the path of the story. It's a cool mechanic, but it's not executed as well as I would like, I guess. Personally, I like there was stuff that I would prefer. It asks you to determine who has the hidden agenda literally before the decision that will like ultimately determine if the person with the hidden agenda is able to complete their mission, which makes any attempts at coercion after that unbelievably transparent. Like spectacularly transparent. It's like, who has the hidden agenda? And I'd be like, Luke has it. That's my guess.
Or he doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And then directly after, Luke's like, oh, we should do this. Oh, yeah, I think we should probably do this. Like, I think we definitely don't want this chick to have lesbian sex. And I'm like, Luke's hidden agenda is to stop this chick from having lesbian sex 1,000%, because why else would he fucking do this? Right. Why else would he avoid, like, the possibility of the world's most awkward scissoring of all time in a video game, right? Why would he fucking avoid that? And instead, he's like, oh, no, I don't want to see that. Yeah, no, fuck that. And I'm like, yeah. So he's got the hidden agenda, like, and then you basically not got no choice but to issue a takeover if you want to, like...
complete the points.
Get the points, If it asks you, to like guess from the get-go, it'd be a little less transparent. Or guess all the way after instead, then it would also be less transparent. They did it best in the final hidden agenda, where everyone gets a hidden agenda. So you're no longer trying to guess if someone has a hidden agenda. Instead, you're just trying to guess what their hidden agenda is and trying to stop it. So in the final hidden agenda, I added a fucking... my hidden agenda was to get the fucking main chick killed. Right? And it's fucking awesome that it's possible to construct, like, the choices necessary to have that happen. I think that's fucking cool as balls. And I think the game does a really good job of making you feel like tension regardless. Yeah, I don't think the storytelling is the best, but it's, like, good enough. It's not, it's certainly not as good as Until Dawn, but it's still, like, really cleverly plotted out and mostly well done. But, yeah, at some point, like, I know that Luke has a hidden agenda as well, so I'm just basically trying to complete mine while any attempt to do anything that Luke did, like any fucking decision he made, I was just trying to like counter, basically. I'm just like, yeah, not, nah, let's not do that. Oh, no, I don't want him. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Nah, yeah, let's not chop this bomb out of this dude. Or like, I'm like, oh, I'm just experimenting. Because I figured you had to get the bomb out of the guy or whatever the fuck. So I'm like, I'm just experimenting. Let's see what happens if we don't make any choice. Which I figured would definitely waste all the time and blow the bomb up. You just sort of go through, and that's the best implementation of it, in my opinion, which is cool.
Mm. I think the getting you to guess who has it and then instantly, like, you're making 10 choices up until that point. So the game kind of says, like, hey, which direction do you want to go in? Do you want to say this or have this action? And you're using, like, the cursor on your phone to sort of select that. So you do that, like, 5 or 6, 7 times. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, guess who has the hidden agenda, if anybody? Like, either nobody could have one or someone could have one. So I can guess, like, hey, Job has it, or I can guess that nobody has it. And then it's like, all right, you know the next one is going to be the hidden agenda. So the moment somebody's like, oh, let's do this thing, it completely gives it away. I think that would probably play out a bit better with more people. It's
true.
It's something that doesn't quite work with just two players on it. If you've got, like, 6 people playing, then, yeah, maybe that would be a bit better, because at least then you've got people at least vocally making different decisions all the time. Yeah, I thought that could have been done a bit better.
I'd love to see how the game plays out properly if you make the correct decisions. I think that would be really cool.
Abruptly, that I was like, is that the end of the game?
Yeah.
All right, I don't really know what happened. But at the same time, fuck, we called the guy. Like, so obviously the game is, you play as a bunch of cops and they're trying to track down a serial killer.
Yeah.
And we fucking called it, like, instantly.
We called who the bad guy was, honest to God, immediately. It was ridiculous.
It's not, not very good in that part.
Yeah. But it was a, like, I guess in their defense, they were trying to stick to police procedural cliches, right?
Yeah.
And which made it pretty transparent as to who the bad guy was. But yeah, they were the idea was to take the police procedural concept and then subvert it using video game mechanics, similar to what they did with the horror game. With Until Dawn, but the police procedural is, like, the formula is so rigid at this point that, like, straying too far off it can be super detrimental if you're attempting any sort of, like, parody or, like, satirical skewering. So they had to stick real close to it, which made it ultra easy to guess what the fuck was going to happen. And instead, I guess any twists that occur are based entirely off your choices, and those choices are, in that case, like, subverted because you are encouraged to make terrible decisions through the hidden agenda concept.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was... Like, I think it's cool. I think, like, for $25, I think it's fucking worth it, to be honest. If you got a PlayStation, you may as well fucking do it. Because I think it's a really interesting twist on interactive fiction. I think the point system is necessary to incentivize people to pursue their hidden agendas. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think the points really add that much except for that incentive. So, yeah, I'm in a bit of a weird space with that. And I think the storytelling is on par, right? About the best I can go with it is that it's par for the course. It's not great. It's not, I wouldn't even say it's good. I thought Until Dawn had good storytelling. Mm-hmm. I do not think this has good storytelling. It has good enough storytelling, you know? And I don't know.
And it's possibly the darkest game I've ever played.
Oh my God.
Fucking really dark.
Not tonally. In terms of it, like, I think they have a color palette ranging from black to slightly lighter blue. Like, the entire game ranges in that spectrum. It is ridiculous. It was like a black and black movie or something instead of a black and white movie. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
And there's no brightness setting on the game.
No, there wasn't.
So we can even make, like, put a white in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely interesting. Interesting game to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you think about it, like, the price is, what, 2 movie tickets?
Yeah.
So if you've got someone with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Same as going out to see a film.
Exactly. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. A lot of Sony stuff.
A lot of Sony stuff, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What else? I guess the last thing I'll say about the Playfest thing is they seem to be focusing a lot on the VR stuff as well. They were, like, showcasing a lot of the indie VR games.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they were.
So they haven't really forgotten about a lot of that.
Yeah.
Which is cool. All right, should we move on? What else we got here we can talk about? Mini Metro.
This game was on sale on Android. It's a Android game. I just wanted to talk about this one mostly because...
Have we talked about it before?
No, I don't think so. It's this game where you, like, sort of create a subway train line system, yeah. And, yeah, I was... I don't know, it was cheap. I got it and someone on my family account bought it, which meant that all of us got it, which is cool. That's why I do the Google Play Music family account dealio. And, yeah, I decided to check it out. I've been playing it. I just wanted to put it on the list. I do like it as a clever little puzzle game. You got these different, like, stations, and you got to link them together with these... this limited amount of train lines, and it's game over if people wait too long at one train station. And I'm not very good at it yet, but I'm getting there. You know, I'm slowly working out different ways of, like, making sure things are efficient links and stuff like that. And there's, like, it doesn't really tell you anything. Like, it literally doesn't. It shows you in a very simple animation how to link to train stations, and then it sort of expects you to work out the rest from there, and it can get pretty complicated as it goes on. So it's a cool little game, but I don't know. It was the reason I wanted to talk about it is because while I was playing it, I got this distinct feeling that was created by some city planner engineer who was copping a lot of shit for, like, a bad subway system. He's like, oh, if you think it's so fucking easy, why don't you fucking do it?
Yeah, here you go.
Here you go. You do it. You do this, okay? Yeah, and people are yapping all day, and these little fucking people nonstop yapping, and if you fuck up, it's game over. Well, let's see how you do with it. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just thought that was something. Ha! That's all I got. Anyway.
It's also a PC game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's on Steam.
Cool. Have you played it?
No, I just Looked it up then. It's on Steam. Because I was like, I've heard of that game somehow.
Right.
That's because it's on Steam.
$10 on Steam? They must be out of their fucking minds. That's crazy. It's $6 in the Steam sales.
That's all right.
Nevertheless. Yeah, all right. Cool. I don't know. It's worth a buck. It's definitely worth a buck.
Okay.
Yep.
What else we got here? Drone update. What is that? Oh, that's your drone.
Yep. While you were
cleaning my barbecue,
meticulously cleaning your barbecue, we were flying the drones around, and I managed to break my drone, and they were pretty insistent that it was very difficult to break these drones, but I did it. Don't worry about it. I did it. And it didn't really take that much effort, to be honest. I didn't feel like I had to work that hard to do it.
Broken. It's like, it still works.
Yeah, it still functions. It absolutely still functions, but I snapped some off, and they were like twisting this thing constantly, showing how durable it was. But I managed to smash one of the little taillight things, and yeah. So there you go. I broke it. What I was doing was I flew it as high as I could.
Yeah.
And it got to like the ceiling of where it could get to. And it sort of, while I was doing that, it sort of drifted a little. It drifted a little close to a tree, but I was above the tree. And then while I was up there, the battery cut out. And so it just stopped flying altogether and plummeted straight through the tree. And it sort of like flipped a bunch on its way down. I'm not sure at what point it actually broke. Like whether it was.
I'm guessing after it hit like.
In the tree
hit the floor,
or.
Like,
yeah, I'm
after
guessing.
After it dropped 70 feet.
Impact to the ground. It was like, I'd say 12 meters tops. 12 meters up tops, I reckon.
12 meters?
Yep. Yeah.
No, longer than
that. Yeah. No way. About 35 feet if you insist 35. On talking in flight. Yep.
No, way higher than that.
No way.
70.
No fucking way. But yeah. So yeah. Smashed it.
It could have been worse. You could have had no drone.
It could have been stuck in the tree, but I would have climbed that motherfucker. I'll tell you that.
You would have climbed it. Set my drone up there to get yours.
That would have been the other option.
We both get stuck.
Yeah, exactly. No, my deft flying, I would have been able to knock it out. You wouldn't have been able to knock. You would have gotten yours stuck for sure, but I would have been able to like just bump it, and it would have been fine. Because as I proved, we had a race, listeners. We had a race, a slalom course, and I fucking smashed you.
Yeah.
Did you even complete the course?
No, I gave up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck happened, but I put my drone down, and then I went to go line up and turned around, and someone must have moved my drone, because the one I was looking at was not moving anymore. So I was watching your drone, and I'm like, yeah, all right, cool, here we go. And then everyone's like, what the fuck's wrong with that drone over there? It's just, like, gone.
Yeah.
That was mine. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone moved it while I was setting up. That's probably what happened.
Oh, totally. No question. Yeah.
Because I was on the right on my screen when I set it up, and then yeah, I don't know, someone moved it.
Yep. Seems plausible.
Yep.
But yeah. Okay. That's drone update.
Hmm.
One more thing.
PUBG. No.
PUBG.
Oh, yes.
Well, yes.
Cool. New test client went out yesterday.
Yep. Bunch of changes, all kinds of stuff.
I was super surprised with these changes. I think there's a lot in here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely rolling. Like, I just figured it'd be, sort of tweaks on the last update. Fixing sort of some of the buggy shit that came out of that. I was like, nope, this is like, holy fuck, there's a lot of new shit in this one.
Yeah. Two new weapons. What else have they got?
They updated some of the damage modifiers on the like the hit area.
Body still parts tweaking and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
It looks like they've split it. So when the game was first released, they had it in like three sort of areas. It was like legs and arms, torso, and then head.
Yep.
And then a couple of months or a couple of weeks back, they sort of split that up and started doing like a bit more like body part areas, things like the neck and, you know, arms, feet, like each part sort of did more or less damage. So they've been tweaking that a little bit. And this update, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago when they were testing it, they kind of went, all right, fucking AR is going to do 25% more damage, which was, you know, I felt like it was a pretty good change. Because when you had high levels of armor, you sort of get away with like 6 or 7, maybe 8 shots to the torso before you take someone down. So this lessens that a bit more to about 5, depending on what type of armor class you've got. So yeah, not as arcadey feel anymore.
Yeah,
I guess that was one of the bigger changes they've done recently as well. Yeah. What else is there?
Vaulting's still in. They made some a few changes. I don't know. I noticed I wasn't getting stuck in weird things. Like I didn't get the jitters while going down hills.
Seems like they've changed a lot of the windows you used to be able to get through. Some of them you can't anymore.
I didn't notice that.
I was noticing that. Stuff like the bathroom window on some of the, like the long rectangle sort of thin bathroom windows you used to be able to get through. You can't anymore. The long, long windows in some of the smaller houses, there'd be like 3 next to each other, like 3 long windows. You can't get through them anymore.
Yeah.
It seems like they're trying to make it more or less just the biggest like square size windows without the bars on it.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to test that a bit more then. Cause yeah, there are a couple of windows that I really hope they didn't get rid of, to be honest. Cause yeah, they were pretty critical to the way I sort of, I don't know, the way vaulting sort of impacts the game.
Yep.
So hopefully they can get rid of them all, but yeah.
Bullet penetration is in there now for water.
Yes.
So testing that. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, it's... What is it? The higher the muzzle velocity, the lower the penetration.
Yeah.
Right? Which means sniper rifles will have lower bullet penetration.
Yeah.
And something... Sorry, go.
Yeah, that's right. And I was going to say, this is reflective of the change we talked about last week when we were like, oh, they must be bringing it in.
Yeah.
Which is what they've done. So they made the sea level lower. You can go a lot deeper in the sea now.
Yep. And yeah, like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Maybe the VSS will be worth picking up now, because it fires bullets at, like, I think there are fucking glaciers that move faster than VSS bullets. So yeah, I don't know. Might be worth, you probably are able to fucking fire 14 kilometers underwater with a VSS. Whereas if you're using a Glock, like a meter at tops.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know.
What else is there? The one that I'm confused about now, but at the time I was like, no, that makes sense. Which you guys are talking about, the M16 had the 8 and 15 times scopes removed from it. You can't attach it anymore.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, yeah, that makes sense, because they're doing this bullet velocity thing where, you know, the further you are away from your target, the less damage it'll do, and sort of the bullet drop affects it. And I was like, yeah, you don't really want an 8 times on that when it's plus, you know, I think it's 300 meters is the drop off it starts to go now. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, why haven't they removed it from the other ARs then? And now I'm confused as to why they've removed it from M16.
To remind you that the M16 is the worst gun.
M16 is great.
It's a dud. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know why they did it, to be honest. But I only pick up an M16 when I have nothing else. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm okay with it, to be honest. What else? Oh, Killcam.
Killcam's in there now.
Crazy.
I used it before. It works pretty well, apart from when it crashes.
Apart from, it crashes my game a lot. But, you actually get to see what happened. I got killed in a game, and I'm like, how the fuck did that dude do that?
Yeah.
How the fuck did he kill me?
This motherfucker cheater.
This is always killing me. Cheater. I still got to have my little rage blast because we were playing on North American servers because the AS squad servers weren't working for whatever fucking reason. So I definitely a bit of 300 ping fuckery. It turns out the only reason he was facing in the correct direction is because he heard me running and went to jump on top of the roof to the building that I was going into, but fucked up and fell and missed the jump. And so he had no choice but to come in, go around and come get me. He just happened to come get me by choice. So I'm like, how the fuck did he know to come in behind the door? Because I knew he was up top. So I was going in to get an angle from the top level. So I was heading in over to the stairs and he comes in behind. I'm like, how the fuck did he know to jump down? He wasn't, there's no way he knew where I was except for, I guess the door or whatever, but he was engaged in a firefight with someone else. But it turns out that he just missed the jump and he was running in to try and get inside. I'm immediately illuminated, spectacular. Hmm. I got outplayed by fucking Inspector Clouseau, but nevertheless.
But now it's, I guess you no longer call on hacks on every single person.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy legit fucking killed me.
Although we did get killed by a hacker.
We did get killed by a hacker the first game we played.
Literally the first game. And it is so blatant. My kill cam crashed the game for me, so I didn't get to see the kill cam. But 100%. Killed by a hacker. Ludicrous.
We had Shadowplay working or running at the same time.
Yeah.
And I went back and watched that and I was like, this dude's definitely cheating because he got 5 straight headshots on us.
Yeah.
With an AR,
two on all three of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, in succession.
15 non-stop headshots. Yeah. Not with an AR. That's with the fucking new LMG.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. From 500-ish meters away.
Oh.
While we were in a car, driving away. Absolutely. And he had one of those names that's all eyes or
was it
lines or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Total hacker. Why you'd hack on a test server, I just don't know. What kind of fucking douchebag do you have to be? But there he is.
That's what happens. Two new guns. A DP-28.
Yep.
Which is a, I don't know, what is that? The gun you were just talking about?
Yes, that's the new LMG.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Steyr Aug A3, which I don't know. It's a crate only. So the LMG is found anywhere on the map, and the Steyr is found in crates only. And it feels like, I feel like that'd be a dud prize. I feel like I'd be feeling a bit ripped off if I found it, but on the other hand, I haven't acquired it yet. Yeah. So
neither have I. But it says in the description, it's got a high velocity.
Yep.
High muzzle velocity and a high rate of fire with low vertical recoil. So maybe it's the Grozer is a pretty good gun that you can get in a crate. You stick one of the a silencer on that, and that thing's a machine.
Yep.
Because it just shoots so quickly. It's got low recoil as well, so maybe it's a similar type of gun. But yeah, again, sticking a lot of... We're not usually crate hunters when we go playing our games. We sort of tend to stick to going through buildings and if there's a crate that's sort of nearby, we'll go for it. But we're not like, oh, fuck, there's a crate 3 kilometers in the distance. Let's go. That's not really our style of play. So yeah, when they keep adding crate guns, we're like, oh man.
Yeah. Anyway. And putting a crate, like a gun, an AR into a crate, I don't know, it sort of dilutes the crates, right?
Well, the Groz is an AR, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I feel about the Groz, to be honest.
Groz is pretty good.
It's pretty good, but like, is it better than AM4? I don't think so, to be honest.
Yeah, AM4's got a lot of recoil.
Yeah, so fucking what? Manage the recoil. It's not that bad.
K98 was removed, about time. From crates.
Oh, is it? Yeah, that is about time. Holy fuck. But that just sort of makes the, I don't know, whichever is worse, the Steyr or the Grozer, whichever one of those two winds up being worse, is the new dud prize, basically. It's like, well, fuck. Can't believe I went for a crate and got this thing.
Yeah. I mean, that again, that may change things up because of the bullet velocity, right? You could use it in longer range situations.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, if we ever get our fucking hands on one. We went crate hunting. But we killed the guys at the crate, and it was an M249, so... Hmm. Bow, bow.
Yeah. UI updates. Some of the stuff here I like. Some of them I don't. They've moved a lot of pretty much most of the stuff on the screen around. The kill feed is now on the top right of the screen as opposed to the bottom left. Your teammates' stats are now in the bottom left, so their health and names are in the bottom left. They've added in color coordination to team members, so each person gets a color, and their color is represented on the minimap. So before, someone would be green and someone would be blue, and it kind of not really get an idea who that is, but now it's pretty clear and present. And each person also has a number as well, which helps with the colorblind issue. So when I would say to Heath, hey, where the green marker, you got to go here, and he wouldn't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That now fixes that, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that I don't like, they've desaturated the minimap. It's like a gray color now. There's not really much color to it. I don't like that at all. I would like to see it go back to the other way. I think the reason they changed that was to have it... I don't know, maybe some of these colors were blending too much with the minimap. I'm really not sure. Anyway, I don't like the change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that change either.
But in saying that, they did update the world map, like the actual map. I do like that a lot better. Things pop out a lot more. The contours of the the regions, like the height and shallowness of certain areas pop out. And the buildings look a lot cleaner as well on the map. So that's cool. I like that change a lot.
Yep.
They've changed like the view distance on your little characters on the minimap as well. Sort of shows you a bit clearer now where that person is looking. I would tend to use that when someone would say, hey, I can see someone 330 degrees from me. And my 330 to someone else is completely different. But when I look at the minimap and see where they're looking, it kind of gives me an idea.
Yep.
Up the line, because I can be like, all right, well, they're looking this way. It must be, you know, sort of triangulate my position to theirs. So that's good. They've sort of put a bit more like the view distance on there. Widen that, which is a really cool, handy feature. Mm-hmm. And then they've tinkered with the compass as well, which I think it's in the right direction. They've put like an incremental meter on the compass where it sort of ticks up every 5 degrees as you move it.
Yeah.
But it does hide a lot of the other text on the compass, and I don't like where it's at the moment.
I think the improvements outweigh the negatives, but yeah. So at the moment, I really like the improvements to the compass, but I can sort of see what you're talking about. Like, I don't like that while the numbers are up, you can't immediately see, like, I don't know. There is definitely a case to be made for the idea that at some point, if you don't know that zero is north, when you're looking at 355, the numbers 355 obscure north. And so if someone's like general direction, where are you looking? If you don't make the connection that 355 is basically fucking north, you'll have to like look away to get the compass to show you that it's north, you know,
yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Because I think you're losing, you can lose about two or three markers. I think it's about two markers on the screen because it's overlaying the other one. So
yeah, they just
you're losing like, that's like 50 or 60 degrees on the screen that you've kind of, you've either got to know exactly where you're looking or like move your mouse around and go, all right, well, this is where I should be sort of pointing. Yeah, I don't know how they, either they make that, that marker, like that number smaller, or they maybe make it a bit more see-through or something. But then that kind of, yeah, screws things around.
Yeah.
I think the other way they could go about it is not that, that number where it's actually showing maybe doesn't need to be there. It can be sort of lower in the screen, like have it below the actual compass. But still have that indicator. Like, the way it works now is pretty nice. I just think that if you get rid of that bold number and have it below the actual compass, that works as well, right? You don't need to have it pop out along the current line it's on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So, it could be in, like, a little box below the compass.
Yep. Yep.
And that could change up and down. And that, I think that fixes that entire problem because you're no longer obscuring all the other numbers on the that line. Anyway, they should just hire me. This, like, that's what I'm saying. I fix all their issues for them. So, yeah, good progress in that comp, the compass, but still some stuff to be done. And I think in terms of the UI... the health bar has been changed as well. I like some of the stuff on here. Some of the things I don't like. They've the hit indicator. So whenever you get take damage, it it does like the Street Fighter or fighting game model where it shows you how much damage you've taken.
Yep.
And it stays there on the screen now, which is really cool. So, yeah, I think that's super handy because while I was you sort of only notice that stuff when you're like watching replays back, like, oh, I got fucking headshot or something like that. But yeah, here in this situation, you'd be like, holy shit, I got fucking headshot because yeah, you can tell how much damage you took. So I really like that indicator. It actually stays up there for a long time. It doesn't go away. And then also the, I guess that reflects into like the bandage update as well. They've made bandages heal you a lot quicker. They used to take 8 seconds before. Now they take about 4.5.
Yes. Yeah, I was confused when I was reading that in the patch notes, but then, like, in practice, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Means you can stack them now.
Yeah. And, yeah, you just sort of, I don't know. You feel like you're actually, it's way more worth carrying bandages. I was always carrying bandages because there were moments where I felt like,
you don't need to waste
an entire fucking first aid seemed a bit pointless, but yeah, then I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They were always the first thing I'd ditch, right? Like, especially you get a couple of kills and suddenly you got like six fucking first aids. You're like, fuck it. If I have to heal more than six times, I'm fucking done anyway. So piss off, bandages. But now I might like, I might actually go for like 5 first aids and 5 bandages instead. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. some people I've noticed aren't happy with your health bar, and I think I agree with this, no longer has a red indicator when you take below 75% damage. So when you used
it's to- It's got the lines, right?
Yeah, when you used to fill up- that's the damage you've taken. Those horizontal on the sort of angled lines on the that's how much damage you've taken.
Right.
On that last hit.
What are you talking about then?
When you would be like 75% health, it used to, well, below that it the health bar would be red to say this is the max you can heal for bandages. And then you would pop an energy drink to go past that line. So that line's no longer red anymore. It's just always white. So you don't really know when you're at that threshold.
Yeah, if you can't see, those lines.
No, the lines aren't. That's just the damage. So you could have been below that, and then take a shot later on.
Yeah, of course you can. No, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Those lines aren't always there.
No, I'm not arguing that. Hang on. Yes, they are.
Are they?
I am arguing that. Yeah. I'm almost certain. Let me have a geese.
I thought that was just indicating how much damage you took last.
Let me see. No, they just hang out. They replace the red.
Huh. Yeah, okay. I don't like that.
I heal up to... Yeah, I'm watching right now. I'm at, like, fucking about 30% health. I use the first aid. I go straight up to... And the lines are gone.
Huh. I have to have a look at it.
Fuck, I did some work on those motherfuckers at the fucking crate while you two... I was at... Ladies and gentlemen, please, hear my story. It's a classic. A classic Job story. Roll up on this crate... Drew and Luke are in their own car. I went for a bit of a tumble because the driving physics on these new cars are a bit wobbly.
Drifto.
They just seem a bit top heavy. They just sort of, they really want to fucking fall over, you know? And so I roll up a little bit late, and Drew and Luke have already left me behind, but this bike comes like pissing itself up the hill next to the fucking crate, and I turned to try and like intercept it, and they've already stopped, and I'm like, oh, I better not. So I brake, I jump in the like into the passenger seat, and I start shooting at them with my ump, and these guys don't even give a fuck about me. They're just straight up shooting at you and Drew, and so I'm still rolling. And I just unleash on these dudes, and they don't give a fuck about me at all. They're just firing at you two at the crate. So I put them down like a boss, but they blew up my car. Once I started shooting them, they changed and started trying to kill me instead. But I killed them both, and you guys hit the crate and did whatever the fuck you were doing, and I had to do all the work. That's because these two stole them. I stole it all. So, finished him off. And that was about it. Too easy.
Well, I had a micro Uzi, so I couldn't do much.
You could have done something.
Well, not when we were. Anything. I was dropped off, like, fucking 100 meters away.
Yeah, I don't know why that was. Were you driving? You weren't driving.
No, I wasn't driving.
Drew was driving. Classic Drew. I got to loot them all and got all the good stuff. They had a fucking M249 with... 40 bullets total.
Right.
So they must have been hammering on that ammo.
Yeah.
I guess that's how they blew up my car.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway
so yeah, I gangster. I checked that health thing, and that like diagonal line is only shows you how much it's like replacing that red marker now. So yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
All the shit I was saying before about it shows you how much damage you last took is incorrect, and they should put that in there because I think it's a fucking great thing.
No, but it does show you in the moment.
It so shows you in the moment, but it doesn't show you, like, it doesn't stay there.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. I thought that indicator was like showing you, like, but this is how much damage you last took.
I see.
It doesn't. No.
No, it doesn't. It definitely doesn't. But it does show you in the moment, whereas previously the health would just disappear. So that is better. It is an improvement.
It stays there a little bit longer. It's like half a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is there? They kill cam. They changed some of the vehicle sounds again, which is, whatever. The red zone. They fucking updated the red zone zones. The red zone sounds, and holy shit, did that scare the fuck out of us the first time.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit.
Because we didn't know what was going on.
So now it starts off with, like, warning sounds of the arty being fired. I guess the red zone indicates artillery. So now it goes... And then you've got the immediate warning sound of... like rounds about to impact, like shells about to hit and explode, which is the meow, and then the explosion. And so it's a completely different experience because you like,
A, you definitely know there's a red zone somewhere soon because you hear the fucking...
The initial, like that 30-second
wind. The firing. But on the... Yeah, on the other hand, like the... I know, it's so much more ominous now. It's like terrifying. The sound of the shells coming in and you just sort of sit there waiting for it to fucking stop because you... I don't know. I felt like I couldn't fucking move or whatever. It's crazy. Awesome, though. Very cool. It's a really good change. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think they're the big changes, right?
I think you're correct.
Yeah.
It's
looking good. Sounds like the next update will be probably when they test the new map, right?
I guess. That's
the way I kind of wanted to do it.
Do they want the new map in 1.0 or?
Yeah, that's what they were going for.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Cool. Speaking of regular PUBG, I've been playing some custom servers.
Okay.
I've been playing on this Twitch streamer I'm friends with, Stabbies. I've been playing on his custom servers. He's trying to practice, like, shoutcasting, because I guess he wants to be a PUBG shoutcaster. And so he's been hosting custom servers and practicing with that while... Yeah, so just doing a whole bunch of, like, whatever people request and whatever. I think you have to pay money to request shit or whatever, but I'm not paying money. On the other hand, he's got this one mode called Demolition Derby that people request sometimes, and it's no weapons. There's no weapons, and there's increased cars, and the only thing that spawns on the map is fuel, and you can carry three fuel. You can carry three fuel without a backpack. So basically what you do is you jump in a car and you start driving around trying to run people over. And it's fucking hilarious. It is amazing. You're basically just hooning around in a car trying to see who you can run over and shit. And anytime anyone gets out of a car, it is like fucking blood in the water for some sharks. They're just fucking – these cars just come swarming in, smashing into one another, trying to get to the kill on this person. It's fucking hilarious. And as you go on, you know, your car gets more and more destroyed and, yeah, it gets harder and harder to keep going. So you've got to, like, if you want to win, you've got to sort of, like, balance this – your car health versus – the idea of actually smashing people. But for me, it's mostly just about smashing people. I've been having a lot of fun with that. I would love to do more Demolition Derby. I think it's fucking hilarious. My favorite thing was my car was actually pretty okay, but like once you get down to the last circle, there's not a lot of space for cars to move. And so people, like, unless I've done, like, the best thing I did was I T-boned a car and then I pushed them out into the blue zone. It was a Dacia. They were sort of stuck on my hood, so they couldn't drive away. So I just pushed them into the blue zone and they got chipped to death. One of them jumped out and someone else came over and drove into them. There was that. That was fucking top notch. But the other one I did was I got out of my very healthy car. There were like 20 people still alive in this last circle, like at the point where the countdown has stopped and you're just sort of waiting for the circle to close in. 20 people left alive, which is ludicrous. There was a burnt, like a on fire car that was sort of everyone was staying away from it. So I jumped out of my very healthy car and I jumped into this on-fire car and I started ramming it into the mass of cars because I figured perhaps I'd be able to explode and then explode other people and it would be high quality. Unfortunately, I was the only one that exploded. But it was still funny. It was still fucking hilarious. So, yeah.
There you go.
That's it. That's my story. That's some stuff. PUBG, baby. Yeah. Let's move on.
Let's do some news.
Yes.
That's everything, right?
That is everything. Yes.
What do we got here? Rainbow Six Year 3 for the Siege update is coming out next year, right?
It is. I am so pissed about this.
Why?
They're
doing a US and a UK operator, and they're not introducing Australian operators. And I don't know why the fuck they're doing this. Just introduce this. Like, I said this on Twitter already, but honestly, whatever fucking US or UK operator you introduce, you can very easily do it as an Australian. Just give them a fucking hilarious accent. That's all you need to do, right? Like, just get them, breach and clear, mate. Something like that. And that's it. That's all you need to do. Whatever they are, just give them fucking an accent. That's it. We are, like, all Western countries look the same. It's fucking crazy. So, Jesus Christ. I'm very mad about this. Anyway, they've unveiled their plans, and they don't include any Australians. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Okay. What's happening for season 3 then? Do you know what's going on?
Not off the top of my head. Oh. You wrote it down, motherfucker.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you wrote it down. Get out of it.
Fuck, I'm going to have to look this up, aren't I?
We're both going to have to look it up, so we know what we're talking about. So,
they're going to be... what do we got here? We've got two new operators in year three. Sorry, in season one of year three. So, it looks like they're doing two operators every season. The first season will be an event called Outbreak. Sounds like zombies, Job.
It is zombies, Luke. I remember that. Okay.
Do you know anything about that?
It's going to be cooperative. It's going to have like a wide array of zombies and shit. It's going to be pretty Left 4 Dead-y, apparently.
Okay, cool.
So that's pretty cool, but I think it'll be like a horde mode of Left 4 Dead. So it'll have special zombies and shit, but it won't have like you traveling all over a map or anything. I don't think Rainbow Six is constructed that way. So yeah, I don't think that would work, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know. Sounds cool. That's season one, and it's got two operators, one from... Are they both from Russia, I think?
No, one's from France, it looks like. The other one's from Russia.
Okay. All right, yeah, fine, whatever. They could have been Australian as well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they both got hilarious accents already, so fucking...
Maybe someone kept saying Austrian to them, and they were like,
chuck another shrimp on the barbie. Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so season two is looks like Italy.
Yes.
Two new operators and a new map. Well, there's no Italians in the game yet, is there?
No, I guess not. As someone with Italian citizenship, I can get away with this joke. Did you hear about the Italian tank?
No.
One gear in forward and five gears in reverse.
Okay.
Classic. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they get a fucking operators before Australia does, but whatever. Here we are. Season three.
But going back to that, the new map is apparently... Is this a skyscraper one that they were...
I don't know. What?
I saw like a skyscraper map that was going around, a video. Okay.
Anyway, I didn't see it.
Sick.
Sucks video. Yeah. Right here. Yeah.
Okay. Season three?
Season three.
This is the US and UK.
Yeah, this is the dagger in my heart. And they're going to rework some maps. And I guess they're probably going to shape out a couple more maps as well, because they're running out of data limits or like memory limits or some shit. And that's why they had to rotate a couple of maps out of the map pool.
Yep.
They'll probably do that again in season three. And the final one is... I don't know what that fucking flag is. Portugal.
Is it?
I don't know. I literally just said I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not Portugal.
Isn't it? Man, how about a weird flags?
Kind of looks like a... It's red. I don't know. It's red with a green star in it.
Red with a green star. You sure that's not Portugal?
Doesn't look.
The other thing was, right, they said, I actively said, oh, now we've visited... Oh, it's Morocco. Because they're like, when they announced it, they're like, and now with African operators, we've now visited every continent.
Ah.
First of all, Antarctica is a continent, motherfuckers. So, like,
isn't that the boat map there? That they took out?
Isn't that in the Arctic Circle?
Okay, sure.
And secondly, Australia's a continent, you pricks. So how dare you say that?
You French fucks.
You Frenchy motherfuckers. So yeah, I don't know.
You're boned again, Job.
Boned again. But yeah. Anyway, it's cool. It's cool that
that game's still kicking off.
They're doing an African map as well, so that's cool. And yeah, it is cool that it's still kicking. I'm definitely in to check out the new one when it goes live. I remember how much a pain in the dick it was to convince you guys to all play it with me last time, but I'll just try again anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you want to talk about the new operators in the white noise patch?
Sure.
These are the ones that I guess... Oh, no, sorry. The new tower map is for this update. It's coming out.
Okay.
For this season. So we've got two new operators. One of them will be a lady who can hack cameras.
Right. Yeah, this shit's awesome. Yeah, so she can hack cameras. So basically make herself invisible? No, isn't that the dude? Oh, no, he makes himself invisible to drones.
Oh, yeah, he must be the one that hacks the cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does she do? Oh, she hacks the phones.
Right, that's it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got Dokkaebi and Vigil. And okay. Dokkaebi's the chick. She hacks people's phones and it, like, buzzes and bugs the shit out of them. Sort of a distraction mechanic that she can use to throw off defenders while
she's... And also she can hear, like, the buzzing. Like, other players can hear it, so they know sort of when someone's nearby.
Yeah, so you can hear the buzzing, and that throws them off. It's a distraction technique. But the other thing she can do is acquire the phones of people she's downed.
Mm-hmm.
And then use those phones to look through their cameras and shit.
Ah, okay, yeah. So that's how she hacks cameras.
Yeah.
I was half right.
We were both half right. And then Vigil he's the dude who can go invisible to drones and shit. And it's sort of similar to Brazilian chick, Caveira, in that it works off like a meter. It's not indefinite or whatever, but he can pop it and then go invisible and then piss off and use that. They're interesting. Like, interestingly, they're like introducing a lot more like direct counters and shit. Like players who directly counter one another and stuff. So yeah, it seems like South Korean operators sort of have direct counters and are counters. IQ is a direct counter to Vigil because she can still see him and stuff like that. And, all that kind of stuff. Like, you just, it's interesting. And they've got, is Zofia in this one as well? The new Polish chick, right?
Is she?
I think so. I think she is. She can like pick herself back up. So if she gets down, she can like pick herself back up and get back up and whatever. But she's also got like a modified version of Ash's thing, where she fires grenades into a wall and then she can fire flashbangs through the hole and shit like that. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a grenade launch or something, right?
Yeah. And in the same sense that, like, in the like along the lines of the direct counters, her flashbangs are less effective on her sister Ella, the other Polish chick, and Ella's flashbangs are less effective on her as well.
Okay.
So they've got like, yeah, this direct counter shit where if they're taking Zofia and you use Ella, then you've got to know that Zephyr will be less susceptible, which I think is pretty interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. A lot of cool stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah, some good shit. And that's about it.
Awesome. That's good. That's, I guess, year three and the end of this season. Those updates we're talking about.
Sure.
All right, we got Steam Autumn Sale has just kicked off. So the sales they do, they have the Black Friday, they call it, in America. So this is kind of folded down into all the gaming platforms as well. Like, everybody's doing it. There's, like, PlayStation sales, there's Green Man Gaming sales, there's GOG sales, there's Steam sales, everything. Everything's happening right now.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about with this one?
How underwhelming I find these sales now.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're good.
I guess because we've got everything.
Yeah, largely. But, like, I don't know. They used to be super exciting. I don't see people getting super excited anymore, you know? Yeah, people just don't seem to care that much anymore about the Steam sales. I guess they don't really gamify it all that much. There's definitely some stuff that I'm still hanging out for. Like, I'd love Planet Coaster to get cheap. Like, I wanted Planet Coaster to be a bit cheaper than $20. It just missed the threshold what I'd be willing to purchase.
I'll definitely keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
55% off. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but yeah, the initial price is, like, I don't know, it just makes it not as attractive to me, I guess. But yeah, that's all I had, really, was just surprised at how little anyone cares. But yeah.
Cool. I've bought two games already. What did I pick up today? I picked up This War of Mine, which was $3 something I got it for, or $4. And Virginia, which was $1. I got those on GMG.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay, yeah. Cool.
This War of Mine and Virginia were on sale on GMG. It looks like it's cheaper than Steam because they're doing VIP discount as well, which is an extra 15% off. So, yeah, it's pretty good. They got some good deals over there as well. Cool. I don't have Planet Coaster, though. I'm just looking now.
Yeah.
Because then that'd be like 75% off. So yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. But yeah, I don't know. I might pick up Planet Coaster.
Fair enough. Jackbox Party Pack 4 is on sale as well.
Yeah.
Just chucking that out there. Anyway, and final piece of news. No, not final. Yeah, final piece of news. Crytek's pay-to-win shooter Warface announced a Battle Royale expansion today.
Mm-hmm.
16 players Battle Royale. Pretty exciting.
Sounds like Deathmatch to me, Job.
It does sound like Deathmatch. Wow, yeah. That does sound like Deathmatch. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. That's it. That's what I got.
No, there's more here.
Is there?
I skipped over one on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Various watchdog programs around the world either did or did not declare loot boxes gambling. We've been saying it for ages, predatory microtransaction models should definitely be looked into in the sense that they are, like, in some cases, teaching children bad habits, people who aren't equipped to deal with these habits. And, yeah, they're teaching them gambling-related behaviors and to rely on those gambling-related behaviors, and they're doing it from a young formative age. And so, yeah, they should definitely be looking into this shit. Seems like the fucking controversy around Star Wars Battlefront has...
Finally.
Yes. Has, I guess, kicked a few seats over and gotten people to have a gaze at whether or not this shit is gambling. The real surprise is seeing a bunch of people come out in defense of loot boxes, a bunch of game developers come out in defense of loot boxes. Most commonly I see, the games industry is unsustainable if they don't use these transactional systems, the reality is, if that is the case, then perhaps it needs to crash. And I don't want games to crash, believe me. I don't want it to happen. But if the only way that they can work is to deliberately exploit the vulnerable, then yeah, then they don't work, basically, is my opinion. But that's been our opinion for ages, because you heard it on the gap first, motherfuckers. Everyone else is just catching up. Yeah. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah, I guess the big things that have been coming out is like the European... was it Belgium?
No, it turns out they didn't apparently say that.
Who was it?
No, it was Belgium, but it turns out that that's not actually what they say. Someone mistranslated it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Hmm.
But Victoria's watch, consumer advocacy watchdog came out and said that they think it's worth looking at and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I saw a post, I think it was this morning, about the state of Hawaii or something like that, has said they want to look into it.
Yeah. Yeah, them as well. Yeah, I don't know. Lots. Yeah, it's definitely picking up steam.
Yeah, which is good. What's happened in terms of the EA Star Wars stuff since last week we spoke? I mean, they put a patch out, right? And did some balance changes as far as I know, but like that hasn't touched any of the loot box stuff.
No. And you can still buy like the premium edition of the game online and all this kind of shit. So
yeah, to get a boost. Yep. I think we talked about it Nate talked about it last week, how he got his premium edition and opened it up and it was just all purple cards and terrible. Yeah. Anyway. It's a big shitstorm.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, that's it.
That's the news. We got any questions?
No.
No questions?
No questions.
That's fine. I can go watch basketball or something then. Works for me. All right. Well, this show right here, if you want to find it anywhere else, you can go to iTunes, Android, Windows Store. Maybe you're listening in a friend's car or his house or her house. And I don't know. That's what they've got on right now. You're at a party. And it's really weird, but they're not playing music. They're playing podcast. Wouldn't that be weird?
That would be weird.
Yeah, you can go to the GA podcast of The Gap on your favorite podcast store. It's not really a store, is it? Because you don't buy anything. Well, you don't buy this show, at least.
Motherfucker, did you get drunk at some point? Have you been drinking this entire podcast? Will you just wrap this shit up? Stop,
I'm dragging it out. Oh, we got to get to 2.5 hours somehow.
Why do we have to get to 2.5 hours?
Because that's our threshold. Minimum. Have dead air at the end.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That'll get us over there. If you want to send us any questions, do that. The email address is gapodcast@gmail.com. You can also shoot us questions at our Discord channel, which is thegapodcast.com/Discord. We've also got a bunch of chat channels in there and people playing games. You can play other things with people if you want to. You don't have to, but it's pretty cool to hang out. I know I was talking to the Bethesda guys yesterday, and they were very welcomed in our community, it sounds like.
Look, we've been playing some PUBG, and they've been like a lucky charm, which is good. A luck of the Irish. One of them's Irish, so, and he keeps winning, even though he is hilariously fucking garbage. Hilariously terrible.
He sounds like he's having fun, though.
Yeah, and that's all that matters, really. I've been discussing, dragging a couple more of our friends through, people who just want to experience PUBG and have no idea what they're in for. They all come to us now, because we're the fucking PUBG experts, baby. I guess we're gonna take I love taking new players through PUBG and shit. I really like it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious to me. I love seeing them experience shit and seeing them wide-eyed finding out how fucking amazing the game is. I remember taking Stephen Farrelly through and he's like, so hang on. So was that another player that we just took on? I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, no fucking way. No way. I'm like, yeah. And there are 88 of them still in this world, like waiting to kill us. And he couldn't get his fucking head around it. And like, as the game went further and further on, it was just doing his head in even more. It is like, it's spectacular watching people like get their heads around it. It's fucking awesome. So I really like it. But yeah.
Cool. So you can do that on the Gap channel on Discord. Come check it out.
Sure can.
If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that. Facebook.com/GA Podcast, Twitter.com/GA Podcast. Or you can go to our website, which is gapodcast.com. Has all the links to the things we just talked about, including past shows we've done. And that's all thanks to our Patreon subscribers.
You're awesome.
They're awesome. Patreon.com/the GA Podcast if you want to help out this show. Muchly appreciated. Everyone does that every month. And that's the show this week. We got nothing happening next week, as far as I know.
No, I don't think so.
I like looked at my schedule and I there's nothing on, so we'll figure it out. I guess we'll be playing a lot of games due to this Steam sale, maybe.
Yep.
Video game sale.
I've already bought two. So.
So yeah, what did you buy?
I bought.
While we were talking, you found two. You're like, this sale fucking sucks. Oh, here's two games.
No, I bought City of Brass, and I bought. Why isn't it in my? Oh, there it is. Convoy. City of Brass is, I think it's an Australian made game.
Oh.
Like a roguelike dungeon crawling first person. I guess I'll go into it more next week when I have a better fucking grasp of what the fuck it's about. And Convoy is a roguelike. I bought some roguelikes, okay? Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Maybe that's what people should do. Send us some suggestions. What we should be playing.
Nice.
What we should get in the Steam sale. It goes for like another week, so plenty of time.
Sure.
People do that. All right, and that's the show. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back
awesome.
Next week with more Gap.
Talk to you then.